بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind to us that Allah gives us the opportunity to sit in a gathering of deen, iman, and we say this is an islahi majlis, meaning some aspect that will be towards the reformation of our lives. Islah means to rectify, to make correct, to reform. So we are going to reform, inshallah, our zahir, our external, and our batin, and make it in accordance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. So alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala bless you, Allah accept your coming here. May Allah make it be a means of najat in the akhirat. It is a qurbani, undoubtedly. And we have to remind ourselves the purpose why we are coming here. The same, we need to make islah of ourselves so that my Allah must become pleased with me. If there are any weaknesses within me, I may hear something and I have realized that I don't have this good aspect in my life. I don't have this sunnah in my life. I don't have this hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my life. It's deficient in me. I need to bring it into my life so that I may beautify my life. I may reform my way, my habit, and bring my life again in accordance to the Sharia, according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah. And as the mashayikh mentioned, like when you go to the doctor, which healthy person goes to the doctor? Person is fit, there's nothing wrong with him at all. Yes, one is a routine checkup. But generally a person who is sick, and that too we will wait right till the end, because who wants to just go to the doctor? We try every medication ourselves, and finally we are forced to go to the doctor. The family puts pressure upon us. No, you have to go. Appointment is made, or we go to the specialist, or go to the doctor, because we are not well. And we need to find out what is the remedy to the symptoms that I am suffering from. There will be a diagnosis. Sometimes doctor sends you for an x-ray, various blood tests, and so many things take place. Until finally an ilaj, something is prescribed, some medication, some ilaj, some remedy. Do this, take this, don't do this. Then inshallah you will find some benefit in you. Then you will get healthy. In a similar way, we all have spiritual maladies, every one of us. There is no person who can say that my heart is pure. Allah Himself says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't deem yourself to be pure. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah knows only who has most taqwa, who is most righteous, whose dil is pak and pure. So we all are endeavoring, making this sacrifice. We are trying our level best. We will falter, we will make mistakes, we will be reminded again. The benefit of these gatherings, normally we don't hear these aspects in the bayans. Jumma bayan, a few minutes we go, we might hear here and there a few points, but here is dedicated to our spiritual self, so that we may connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this dil that we have, it must become pak, saf, as I said, zahir and batin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then indeed he has gained a great success. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Then he has become kamiyab. Bare kamiyabi. A great kamiyabi. A great success. So success is achieved by being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a person is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this obedience gains him not a normal success, but Allah himself says, فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, a very great success. And that is the greatest success. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, another verse in the Quran. So to get this great success, what is the condition? Ita'at. Ita'at of Allah, ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is ita'at? Loosely we translate ita'at to be obedient. What it actually means, kehna manna. Whatever Shariat has instructed you, whatever Shariat has told you to do, whatever Allah has mentioned, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, whatever Allah has commanded us to do, whatever Rasulullah has commanded us to do, to wholeheartedly accept it. This is manna. To wholeheartedly accept it and bring it into our lives. This is ita'at. The father tells the son, gives him instructions, that do this and don't do this. So when will we see that the child was obedient to the father? When he accepted the instruction of the father, and he practically demonstrated and he carried it out. Then the father will say, yes, you're a dutiful son, very obedient son. And if the child heard the instruction, he did not accept the father's instruction, he did not carry it out, then we will see he is disobedient. So similarly, if we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is termed as ita'at. Throughout the Quran, قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ رَسُولُ, obey Allah, obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is called ita'at. Ita'at. What is the benefit of ita'at? As I mentioned, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. You obey Allah, you obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will get lofty success, a great success. You will be triumphant. And another virtue is, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Allah mentioned the fifth juz of the Holy Quran. Whosoever obeys Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then on the day of Qiyamah, he'll be raised with the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. What a great honor. To be raised with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the greatest of any of honor. And with him, the other Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ, all those who were loyal and truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who only spoke the truth. Those whose lives was full of sidq, loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ. Imagine being raised with the martyrs. Martyr gave his life. We didn't give our life in the path of Allah. But we obeyed Allah and we obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah gives you the honor to be raised with the martyrs. And was-saliheen, and the pious and righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are raised with such people. So ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many times, some people say that obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can understand. Why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So what's the difference? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whosoever has obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sent down Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to practically demonstrate the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah has commanded us to do, whatever Allah has prohibited, Allah sent Rasulullah as a model, example for us. So Rasulullah himself displayed the tariqah, the way of success, the way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way to refrain from displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Rasulullah, it would be difficult for ourselves just to understand exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So by obeying Rasulullah and his way of life was in total conformity to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total ita'at of Allah. It's not something different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we talk about sharia. What is sharia? Quran and sunnah. This is sharia. following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as shown to us by the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. He did not speak anything out of his own desire and passion. Whatever he said was an instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have Quran. Then we have Hadith Qudsi, where Rasulullah mentioned in his words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. So those are hadith. Then the sunnah of Rasulullah. So all this is the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some commands that deal with the outer of our bodies, the outer part, our hands, our eyes, our limbs, and the others pertaining to our heart. The first one we term as zahiri, and the second one is batini. So we are instructed to do certain things with our limbs, externally, zahiri, salat we perform. It was an ibadah we did with our limbs. We made sajda, we made ruku. There were movements. Whatever we speak also. This oral, attahiyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. So, our oral ibadah. This is also falls in the same category. There are things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibited. That don't do this with your hand. Don't do this with your leg. Don't do this with your eyes. Don't do this with your mouth. These are also prohibitions. So these are all with the external. Then we have internal. Do's and don'ts. Allah says, do this with your heart. Inculcate in your heart ikhlas, sincerity. Don't have a malice in your heart. Don't have hasad in your heart. So these are don'ts of the heart. We have do's and don'ts of the outer, the zahiri, and do's and don'ts of the batini. Simple. We have love, muhabbat. So where's muhabbat? In the heart. Can I see in your heart how much muhabbat you have for me? You can't. But that muhabbat which is in the heart, if it is genuine, then it manifests, you see the effects of that muhabbat on our limbs. A lover loves his beloved. So he'll move towards the beloved. He will speak words of love to his beloved. But the love is where? In his heart. So when this love is embedded in the heart, then we see the athar or the athar, the effects coming onto the limbs. Then the person will perform his hajj, he'll perform his sajda, he will keep roza, he will make tilawat of the Quran. All these are effects of the limbs. Why? Because he has true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, we have deeds that we do practically. And these deeds that we are showing practically, they are a result of the love that we have, which is within our heart, which we cannot see. Nobody can see that. So these things of the heart, we see they are do's and don'ts. I said, inculcate ikhlas. This is the do. It's the instruction of Allah. These the ulama term as faza'il. And alhamdulillah, we explained this thing several times, but it is a reminder for us. We forget. All of us forget. We need a reminder. Sometimes a new person is listening. So it's beneficial to all, inshallah. We call this faza'il. These good things that we are instructed to develop in our heart. Taqwa, tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sabr. All these things are qualities, traits that we have to inculcate in ourselves. These are faza'il. Then we have those traits and characteristics which are known as raza'il, razila, which are bad, evil. We got to take those things out of our heart. The pride, the anger, the jealousy. So these things we have to take out. So what is our effort now? To remove the raza'il of our heart, to remove the impure things from our heart, the spiritual maladies of our heart, and bring into our heart faza'il, good qualities. This is the effort of the batin. All this bring into our hearts faza'il, removing the raza'il, seeing the effects of all this onto our limbs, onto our eyes and ears and our hands and our feet and our head. All this comes under the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he gains a great success and victory. He is kamyab. فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. The amal we have, as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to do those things and we get blessings. And those and other things we are told we should refrain from those things. And by doing those things, we term that as disobedience, ma'asiyat, guna, sin. Now, Mashaykh in Tasawwuf has explained two sins. These are two sins which every person has to be absolutely concerned about. One is a jahi guna in Urdu and bahi guna. Jah and bah. Jah, jahi. These refer to those sins where a person wishes to gain fame. Bada banna chahta hai. He wishes to become big. People must look up to him. He wants fame. He wants everybody to respect him. Who doesn't want respect? We all want respect. But in this case, he wants the people's attention to be all focused upon to him. Qarun had this problem. This is jah. Shaitan had this problem. He wanted to be big. He looked down upon others. There is a fine difference between ujab, vanity, and pride. Vanity is when a person wants fame. And pride is when he wants fame for himself and he regards himself superior to others. And he looks down upon others. In vanity, this is not found. Vanity, he wants everybody to look up to him. And not necessarily he will look down upon somebody else. But both are haram. Both are maladies that we have to eradicate from our heart. So again, we have jahi guna. Jah. Jah means fame. A person wants to become big. He wants people to just give him, praise him all the time. He wants to be praised all the time. In essence, he falls in love with himself. And he thinks himself to be the best in the world. So he is blind to anybody else. And he wants all respect and all praises only to come to him. If he's a great alim or he's an alim, then he wants everybody to respect him and praise him. Your bayan, your qiraat, your khutbah, you. If he's a tajir businessman, he wants everybody to say he's the best businessman in town. Anything less. So jah. He wants recognition all the time. He demands recognition from people. He expects everybody to praise him and him alone. So this is something very, very detrimental to the batin. And we term them terms as to be self-conceited. Self-conceited. The man is in love within himself. If a person, for example, Allah has given you beauty. A person is handsome. So obviously he is happy, Allah gave me beauty. But would that he make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That, oh Allah, you granted me this beauty. It is not something that I brought unto myself. It's ghair ikhtiyar. You gave me this handsomeness. The woman is very beautiful. She looks at herself in the mirror. So she praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fa'assin khulqi. Allah, you made my zahir so beautiful. Make my batin also so beautiful. So here, we won't term this as ujab. Yeah, why? Because he is making the nisbat of whatever he is enjoying. Whatever beauty he has got, whatever beauty she has got, nisbat, the connection is to Allah subhanahu. Allah, you have given me. It's not something on my own. The person does not become self-conceited to this particular quality that he enjoys or she enjoys. Qarun, what did he say? Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. I have been given innama utituhu ala ilmin indi, from knowledge that I have for myself. In other words, he did not attribute ilm to Allah. He didn't say, Allah bestowed me with knowledge. Ilm min indi, my knowledge. See, my ujab, vanity. And this led to him, his destruction. فَخَصَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. And in Ramadan, we did in detail quite a few Ramadan also, when we've discussed the verses of Qarun, how Allah sunk him with his entire belongings, everything. Allah sunk him into the earth. So again, this we are discussing now, jahi guna, jah means fame. And the other guna I said is bahi guna. What is bahi guna? Na jaiz tariqe se lazzat hasil karna. Lazzat means passions, egos. We talk about falling in love with a woman. Bad nazri. Zina of the eyes. Zina of the private parts. So here a person seeks to fulfill his passions in a haram way. This is bahi guna. Generally, when people talk about bahi guna, we talk about zina. It's not only about zina. A person not keeping the fast of Ramadan. What is it? The lazzat of eating, drinking. He cannot give that up. So in a najayiz way, during the day when he's supposed to be fasting, he's drinking his juice, he's having his lunch, he's having some breakfast. So here again, he's suffering from a bahi guna. Another person, he falls in love with a woman. And now he is seeking to fulfill his desire by means of zina. He could have made nikah, and that would have been permissible, but he does not go that route. He goes the wrong route, the haram route. So this is bahi guna, where he is fulfilling his desire, haram desire, in a haram way. Na jaiz tariqe se lazzat ko hasil karna. So again, this jahi guna, bahi guna, in the beginning we mentioned, wadharu zahir al-ithmi wa batina. That the zahir gunas also we have to refrain from, and the batini gunas we have to refrain from. If we do all this, then truly we have made the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we get faqad faz, the fawzan azima. So we have to control, these passions that we have. A few weeks back, we mentioned that a person has anger, and a person has these passions. Now, we cannot eradicate this entirely, because there are times when you are expected to display your anger. And the example we gave, if somebody is attacking your property, your family, you got your wife, your children there. At that time, you are expected to show your anger and defend your family, defend yourself, protect yourself. And if you don't have any shahwat in you, no desire, no passion, you get married, what will the bichari wife do? She's waiting for you. You got no desire, no passion. So that is incorrect, yes. The passions that we have, the najais passions, we've got to bring that into control. That's the effort we have to make. Bring that into control. And how do we get that in control? Again, this majlis is islah, tazkiyah of the heart. Because many a times, we do not know, We cannot detect. Like I mentioned in the beginning, we go to the doctor and we give him our symptom. I've got a headache, I've got a cramp in my stomach, or my leg is paining, or my knees are paining, or my heart is paining, I've got this problem, that problem. Understood? So doctor will hear us out, and through his experience, he will determine, diagnose, this is the problem. Sometimes if he's not very sure, or he wants to rule off all other possibilities that could be some problem, you see, take an x-ray, do some bloods, do this, do that. And finally he'll come with a result. So sometimes we do not know. I may be suffering from pride. Or I've got hasad in me. And I didn't realize it. In business it happens all the time. Where I can't see the other person prospering. Why is he getting more customers than me? Why is he doing so much better than me? So his business is thriving so well. So he's feeling that pain, and what he wants in his heart, that man must come down. There must be zawal of the ni'mat he's enjoying. So he must be a loser now. He must not succeed in his business. And the moment you see him failing, then it gives you happiness in your heart. That's hasad. Where you want zawal of the ni'mat the person is benefiting from or enjoying. Person is knowledgeable. You want that ilm to go away from him. Person reads very well, or whatever it may be. So we do not understand caught up in that business world of ours, and everybody is doing the same, so we have not realized that, hey, I've got hasad in my heart. And if I leave this world with hasad in my heart, then it's going to be detrimental for me in the akhirat, and hasad wipes out the nakis of a person, just like how fire burns wood. So all the good things I'm doing, all those good deeds are being burnt out because of the jealousy I am displaying. How do we determine that? Sometime by sitting in a gathering of tazkiyah, islah, and we heard these points, and then a person will realize, hey, I did the same thing today. I spoke ill of that person. I made ghibat. I didn't even realize that it was ghibat. I mimicked somebody. I made fun of some person. And I just took it for granted. So many times we take things for granted. Many times we do not know it's a guna even. And therefore again we have to find that person who we can follow, and we can explain to him that these are the problems I nowadays have. And he might ask you a few more questions, and then you realize you don't have just one malady, we have several maladies. So therefore again, tazkiyah of the nafs, and we need this detection, we need somebody to diagnose us. And then that is why our mashayikh keep on mentioning throughout, there's a need for a sheikh, need for a mentor. And not just need for a mentor, mashallah, many people in the world have taken bay'at to a person. That was the beginning and the end. Took bay'at, mashallah. You got barakat of it, inshallah. But what is the purpose of bay'at? To follow those guidelines of that sheikh and mentor who you had faith and trusted and he was genuine. And whatever he said, you did. Many times, the murid dictates to the sheikh, like a patient will tell the doctor, doctor, you must do this, do that, give me that, give me that. The doctor says, you can fly kite. Go somewhere else. Many people. Initially, they start off very well, and suddenly they become too clever. They look for something different. They look for something different, something more powerful. They want to see things happening to them. They must be flying all the time. They must be in ecstasy all the time. It's the same thing they keep on saying. Say, oh, it seems you heard this bayan before. Oh, mashayikh, they say you have tea every day, isn't it? Or you have breakfast every day. Or if somebody don't have breakfast, you have lunch at least. Or supper, you can't be starving. You eat food. So like tea, every person has tea. Or coffee, whatever it is. But you don't get tired of it. Nobody says, for the next few years, I won't have tea, now I had enough. Each time you get lazzat of it, you enjoy it. So like that, as I mentioned in the beginning, if we come as sick patients, then we get our ilaj. But if we come, mashallah, my tazkiyah is made, my dil is very saaf, paak, I don't need to improve, there's no need for islah. So then, respected brothers and elders, there won't be any islah taking place, there won't be any reformation, and we will remain on the same spot, if not retrogress. May Allah protect me, may Allah protect all of us. Tazkiyah of the heart, tazkiyah of the dil, batin, 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 it is absolutely important. But listen to what the sheikh tells you, don't dictate to him, and be open, be honest, I am suffering from A, B, C. If the person is a genuine alim, genuine mentor, genuine sheikh, he's not going to mention to public that, man, he told me this, he's got a zina problem, or he did this. Never. Yes, if in the talk, generally something is mentioned, it's not because of you sitting there, or because this is, so many people have got this problem. So many people have this problem. So therefore it is meant for every person, the sheikh himself, the alim himself. Of course I'm no sheikh, I'm explaining to the mashayikh. But the person himself requires it. Hubbe jah, hubbe ba, every person goes through this thing. And we only are, in the end, after we pass the test, faqad faza fawzan azima. Anytime in between a person can slip. Even if he's a sheikh, even if he's a mentor, he's not on guard, he's prescribing the medication to every person, he himself is not worried about his health. If he's sick, he's not taking the medication. He himself lands up in hospital. So it is for every single person. It's not that a certain person is picked out or singled out and he's being hammered. No, no, no. Each person must come with sincerity, ikhlas, that I genuinely want my batin to come right. I want my tazkiyah to take place. So then there'll be a diet plan. Like the doctor will say, no sugar. Don't have this. Don't have bread. Don't do this. This is very bad. Your cholesterol is very high. You can't have this. You can't eat that. He puts you onto a strict diet plan. Allah save us. Allah save us. A person is diagnosed. You've got a heart problem and he's going to go for a bypass. And the doctor has told him that you cannot eat these things. He'll be so concerned. He'll never go near those things. If the wife makes those things, he said, I told you, I can die now if I have the thing. He'll be so careful. You want me to die? I must. So he's so careful. He must not indulge in anything that's going to cause more harm to him. In the similar way for Bhati. These things are mentioned. Don't do this, do this. It's for our own good. Ilaj. This is ilaj. A remedy. Initially, it is bitter. Any medication. If you remember your childhood days, the first time you got an injection, all of us cried. Some people, as they big also, they still cry. So any person, some medication is very bitter. Especially those which have those cough mixtures. But as a person progresses, he's genuine and he moves on that path. It becomes easier for him, easier for him, easier for him. He makes taraqqi, and in doing so, what is happening? His nafs will become weaker and weaker and weaker. Now it's easy to overcome the nafs, the demand of the nafs. But if he doesn't listen to what the doctor has prescribed or the alim has prescribed for him, then he will make his nafs stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Now to make mukhalafat is very difficult. Now to bring the change in his life is very difficult. He wants the desire there to be pious, but it's difficult. Why? He's not following the advices of the sheikh. So we should ponder over our lives. I've got weaknesses, I must remedy those weaknesses. I've got deficiencies, I must now make sure those deficiencies are now eradicated. I want to become kamil, I want to become solid, I want to become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to become a true ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want that faqad faza fawzan azima, which Allah has promised. I want to be raised with the anbiya alayhi wa sallam. I want to be raised with the siddiqeen, with the shuhada, with the saliheen. Generally, mashayikh prescribe dhikrullah. And alhamdulillah, on Thursdays, we emphasize on dhikrullah, dhikrullah. I don't know. I haven't seen any shaykh in tasawuf that has minor dhikr from the ilaj. Every single shaykh, a kamil, has mentioned dhikr karo or kathrate dhikr karo. Yes, they will show you a methodology. You can't do it on your own. Person can go off his head too. So exactly how the doctor will tell you 3 times a day or twice a day, before meals, after meals, and just take it for 2 weeks or 1 week, whatever it is. There is a prescription given to us and follow that prescription. La ilaha illallah, istighfar, Allah Allah, Durood Sharif. These are simple things that everybody will prescribe. Kasrat e zikr. Why? Zikr brings noor in the heart. And that noor will help to eradicate those jahi and bahi gunas. It will help in weakening your nafs. It will help you to defend you against shaitan. Then you see that muhabbat coming into your heart. Fazail coming into your heart. Razail coming out of your heart. Noor is coming into the heart. The effects are coming onto your zahir. Now you enjoying the sajda. Now you enjoying the tilawat. And you enjoying your umrah and hajj and i'tikaf and whatever ibadat it is. Why? The athar, the effects of the love of Allah and Rasulullah is now coming into your limbs. So they tell you about making dhikr. And of course, tawbah, istighfar. Rona, dona. If there's no rona, dona, the dona means to wash. We have stains on our clothing. And we have to wash it. You don't just rinse it once and expect it, or just throw some water over and put it in the line. The stain will still remain there. It has to be washed thoroughly, rinsed thoroughly. There'll be rona dona. You have to cry and cry and cry to Allah subhanahu. Ya Allah, maine guna kar diya. Ya Allah, I made your maasiyat. Ya Allah, main mujrim hu. Ya Allah, I'm making iqrar, confessing I've done wrong. Ya Allah, you are my malik. You are my... Every single wali of Allah, you find this in his life. And you think that this person, such a wali, great, what guna he must be made. They understood that rona, dona will elevate them. It will help to cleanse this, purify this heart. And this rona, dona, toba, is not for only when you're going for umrah and you cried it out there, only for Hajj Arafat day, only in Ramadan. Generally we do that. Certain occasions, rona to na ho jata hai. Some big night. Rest of the time, back to square one. No. It is part of our lives. There has to be that khalwat solitude when you and Allah and there's rona dona taking place there. Where you're crying over the sins. You're crying over your sins. So dhikr, the person will become a dhakir. When he becomes a dhakir, so kasrat is dhikr, he'll make dua, he'll make tawbah, then he'll find the noor coming onto his heart and inshallah then he will be then making the itaat of Allah, itaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, we all have the ability of refraining from both jahi gunas, gunas with fame, and bahi gunas to do with our passions and desires. All of us. Allah will never burden any person. Allah will never make mukallaf. Mukallaf is an Arabic word, Urdu word also. Allah will not entrust you with a certain duty and task which is beyond your capabilities. Never. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah has given everyone an ability. And Allah says, do it. And Allah has given everybody an ability to refrain from something. Therefore Allah says, refrain from it. Simple example. You got two sons. One is 11, 12 years old. He knows how to read the Quran Sharif. Maybe he's doing Hifz of the Quran. It's holiday time. You tell him, bhai, read your one para, then I'll give you a break, I'll give you a chocolate, I'll take you for a holiday. So, he does it. It is within his control. He can't say, no, it's beyond my control to read this one para. Why? Because he has the ability to read. But your baby, 1-year-old baby, is unable to read the Quran. He hasn't learned. You can't make that baby, which is not mukallaf now, and say, until this baby does not read Quran Sharif one para, then I won't give it a chocolate. Logical thing. Allah has made all of us mukallaf. Allah has given all of us ability. Many times, we say, no, I tried very hard. This badnazri, you're out of my control. I can't. Zina is out of my control. Allah save us. Person takes drugs, becomes an addict. Of course, nobody has the right to look down upon any person. People are making an effort. They're changing. The man is changing his life. He's doing so well. And somebody will come and remind him of his past or make him feel low and miserable. And you are going to push that back person back. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah conceal our faults. The person becomes an addict. He reaches the point. Yes, when they become addict, it becomes more difficult to now control yourself. It's easier before you become an addict. First time you took the drug or second time, you can still control and come out. But once you become an addict, it becomes more difficult. However, it is possible 100% to come out of the drugs and to become clean and free from it. Simple example. Person is going to take drugs or he's addicted to pornography and he's only seeing pornographic material. So he says in his mind, certain time, I'm going to go do that. And certain place, where nobody can see me. He goes there, that's the time he has planned for, and is the place. But so happens, at that particular time, many others are also there. So he doesn't get the opportunity. What does he do? He controls himself then. Even if it means 1 hour, he has to wait, he'll wait 1 hour. And after everybody is gone, then he'll do whatever he needs to do. The fact that he could delay and not do it at the time because he was scared his father will see him, mother will see him, his wife will see him. He delayed, showed he had some control. So the fact that the person had control, is it? We cannot say, it's beyond my control, I can't do it. May Allah Ta'ala give us that control. And to get that control again, himmat. We need himmati marda. Zari Billah keeps up Ramadan. So keep on saying, be like a sheer, like a lion. Don't be like a lomi, like a fox. And just run away all the time. No, you gotta have that courage that come what may, even if it means my jaan, my life will go away, but I will not displease my Allah. That's the only thing you require. And that is not an easy thing. That is difficult. A person has to force himself to do it. What helps? Dhikrullah. Dhikrullah will definitely help. Suhbat of pious people will help. ittila and ittiba of the sheikh. Telling your sheikh, I've got this problem. And now whatever he tells you, you follow rigidly. These are the simple things. Kathirti dhikr. Of course they mentioned toba, rona, dona. Sohbat of pious people. By staying with pious people, then automatically you'll feel pious. The urge, the taqaza of haram won't come into you. Comes into you, you'll be able to curb it. All buzruk sitting here, not going to do something mad. Sohbat of the sheikh, you find the sheikh, according to your blood group, munasabat, and you make ittila. Ittila means inform him, I've got this problem. How you expect the sheikh to understand everything? He just looks at you, makes salam alaikum, and he has kashf, and he must just tell you this is wrong with you, and you must do this, and you carry on. It doesn't happen, lad. You have to make ittila. And then whatever he tells you, ittiba. Now don't start questioning him. Yes, if you have i'tiqad in him, if he's not telling something out of sharia, of course, something out of sharia, some haram thing, then of course, then you stay away from whatever he's saying. You refrain from such a person altogether. Otherwise, he's telling you do this. It might be difficult on your nafs. You see, nafs is so chalak. The person says, you know, especially when it comes to hubbe, this passions, you know, okay, one more last time, I'll see that haram thing. One more last time. Why? Then I get that sukoon. Until now, I'm restless, man. Not getting that sukoon. One more time, I'll take that one more tablet. And then after that, finish. So you'll get sukoon for maybe 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, maybe 1 week. And after that, what happens? The taqaza comes back. And when it comes back the second time, it comes back more stronger than the first time. That is why our mashayikh say, when the taqaza, the demand, the urge is there, that take it one more time. Or do it one more time. That's the time you require that himmat and courage, and you got to fight yourself. And you got to say la, you got to say no. You got to move away, run away to sohbat of salihin. Fafirru ila Allah, go to the musalla, make dhikr, move away from that environment. Rona, dona, cry to Allah. Yusuf alayhi salam said, qala ma'ad Allah. He turned to Allah. Allah opened all the doors for him. That we don't want to do. We say, no, I can't. I explain, we can. Otherwise Allah would not have made us mukallaf. So if we don't stay away from that, and we think, no, we just to get sukoon, then the taqaza becomes stronger and stronger and becomes very difficult again. But if you weakened your nafs, you defended, you protected yourself from shaitan, you fought very bravely, then if it comes again, it won't be, the taqaza won't be as strong as the first time. And you'll be able to push it off. So kathrat dhikr, tawbah, istighfar, dua, find pious, righteous company, find the right person who you can take as a mentor, genuinely if you're seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want your deen to be in conformance with sharia, your zahir, your batin, if you want to have the ita'at of Allah and the ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we get faqad faz, the fawzan azima, we get the real kamyabi, the greatest of all success, and that is when you obey Allah, and obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me tawfiq, all of us tawfiq, we all are weak. Brothers, believe me, it's easy to say these things. The real thing is when we are tested ourselves. But one benefit is when we speak about this, and people ask you about it, then Allah gives you some type of shu'ur, awareness. Then, you know, I have to do this, I mustn't do this. So at least that much, by sitting in the in gatherings of Islam, we are reminded that I got to make my zahir beautiful, my batin beautiful, then I can go onto this path and reach my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with great success. Allah give me tawfiq, all of us tawfiq. Ummat is suffering, we can see it throughout the world, every single day. This life is not a boring life. Many people think, now you can't joke. Well, most of the time we meet, we're lighthearted. We're not talking something which is haram. You make somebody happy. Idkhalu surur fi qalbil mu'min. You're putting making some person, a believer, happy. Within limits of sharia. You're meeting somebody, you're smiling, you're greeting, you're talking. Sometimes you're teasing somebody within limits of sharia. Of course, you don't do it all the time. So it's not like a life that now I've become a robot and take a tasbih and it's so difficult and painful. Nothing of that sort. You see, the friends of Allah, They're also enjoying themselves. They also have wives. They also have children. They also sleep and they also eat. But they don't become a ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The zahir is in accordance to Sharia. Batin, they endeavor to make that in accordance to Sharia. They're beautifying the heart. They're making tazkiyah. They have that shu'ur, they have that fikr, they have that worry. That is what we need to inculcate. Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Many people are sick, many people have requested du'as. Allah give all of them shifa'i kamil, adil, mustaqir, da'im. Allah remove the difficulties of the Ummat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.